Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
This is Adam Carriker on the Ticket.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, 8-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here's your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome everybody in to Adam Carriker on The Ticket. Hope you're having a phenomenal Monday as always. It's a loaded show. I got to dive right into it. We got to dispense with the pleasantries. Okay, easy for me to say. And dive into it and light this candle. As always, it's a loaded show. All right, right off the top, we're going to talk about Nebraska's offense dominates a scrimmage better than they ever have last Saturday. Okay, I'm going to be joined in about 5 minutes or so. Joe Huttmaker, Nash Huttmaker's dad. Joe is a man who clearly works out. He's going to be joining me for about 10 to 15 minutes. Then at 12:30, Outland Trophy winner, All-American, 12-year NFL vet, national champ Zach Wiegert's going to be joining me. And I'm finally going to give my thoughts on what I perceive to be Nick Saban's NIL hypocrisies to end this show today. Arguably the greatest coach of all time. But it comes across like a hypocrisy, his approach, and why he left the game as it relates to NIL, in my humble opinion. Okay, and I do want to shout out, once again, Bonzel Pool. All right, bonzelpool.com. They are putting in my family's pool. That's why I'm shouting them out. They're located in the Pioneer Plaza. Okay, address 3201 Pioneers Boulevard, number 30, Lincoln, Nebraska. Phone number 402-488-0148. That's Bonzel Pool and Spa. I will be in studio on Friday. They're at 93.7 The Ticket. And I never know who's going to be helping me with the show. Today it's Jake. Jake's the man behind the scenes making the magic happen. So I'm either going to be doing the show with Jake or Rico. If Rico ain't scared, if Jake ain't scared, if they're all scared, I'll do it myself. If they both want to join, they're more than welcome. Let's light this candle on Friday. All right, as you know, every Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, noon to 1 p.m. Central Time, it is the fastest hour in radio here on 93.7 The Ticket. I am live Mondays and Fridays. Tuesdays, the Carriker Chronicles. Thursdays, the Big Ten Show. And don't forget about Wednesdays. Former All-American Nebraska quarterback Steve Taylor drops that knowledge. Grab your lunch, have fun, and join me for the loaded hour, the fastest hour in radio each and every day here on 93.7 The Ticket. And as always, you can send your fan questions, thoughts, concerns, or otherwise. I am now reading them throughout the show to 402-464-5685. All right, I got a couple of minutes. Again, it's loaded. It's fast. Let's light this candle to chat about Nebraska's offense before I bring on Nash Huttmaker's father, Joe Huttmaker. All right, now Nebraska ran about 200 plays in their scrimmage on Saturday. Am I the only one that's like 200? That's a lot of plays. They had to have had multiple scrimmages going on at once, or it was like a four-hour scrimmage. There was one scrimmage we had under Callahan where we just kept going forever and ever and ever and ever, and it just never ended. We probably ran, I don't know, God, like 5 million plays, it felt like. But it was about drilling toughness into us, okay? He said guys who will get a lot of game reps, all right, rested on Saturday. He was hesitant to use that term just a smidge because it can be perceived as soft by some people. You know, and I get that, but Matt Rhule's not a soft coach. I don't really get too concerned about that. Okay, he did say, this is the most dominant day we've had on offense ever. Explosive plays, big plays. That's got to be exciting. Now, he did say they got to run the ball a little bit better than they did Saturday. Didn't run the ball as well as they had hoped. They did have one fumble, but all three quarterbacks played really well. And he's liking the in-helmet communication with quarterbacks. It's transformational. You know, what an idea. You can talk directly to your quarterback. What a concept. And it's going to make things easier. Like, why wasn't this done, like, decades ago? Okay. And so he thinks that they still got to work on some of the low lights. In other words, some of the big mistakes are still there. They're still working on getting rid of those. Obviously, there's more highlights. Obviously, there was more big plays. But the run game wasn't as consistent as he would have hoped. Okay, and got to continue to improve on some of the low lights, which has hindered Nebraska over the years, especially in those close games, those close losses in the fourth quarter, late in games, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, and he does think that it is important, okay, to see how quarterbacks handle frustration. The two positions that have to have the shortest memory of any position on the entire football team is quarterback and cornerback. A really good cornerback, you're going to get beat from time to time. That other guy's on scholarship too. That other guy's working out. That other guy's trying to eat right, at least sometimes. Like, they're all watching film. At some point, the wide receiver's going to win too, no matter how good you are. And if you give up an 80-yard touchdown pass, that sucks. That's in front of everybody, and you're the guy on the highlight getting beat. That's tough. That's why cornerbacks have to have the shortest memory, and no position in all of sports is more scrutinized than quarterback for a football team. They have to have the shortest memories, the thickest skin, and the most amount of confidence, and the highest amount of resiliency. Okay, all three quarterbacks played really well. He talked about how Heinrich Harburg is throwing better, significantly better than he was a year ago. I've said the guy can throw. I've never said he can't throw. I've never said he's a bad passer. If you watch my chronicles, if you watched or listened to what I said here on The Ticket last fall, I always said mechanics. It always comes back to mechanics. That's all I've ever said. I've seen the guy throw when he had good mechanics, and he can throw. He's got an arm. He really does. He runs even better than I thought he would, and I thought he would surprise people with his legs, and then he surprised me, even though I thought he would surprise people. The fact is, the dude can throw, but not with good mechanics. Nobody can. If his mechanics are better, I don't doubt for one iota of a millisecond that Heinrich Harburg's throwing a lot better. Okay, can't name a starting quarterback yet. Wants to give them all a fair shot. Makes sense, and I don't think anybody really expected a starter to be named just yet. He did want to clarify that he yelled at the entire team for a lack of energy, okay, in one of their previous practices slash scrimmages, etc., not just the defense, which is what I talked about on Friday because that's what I had been told. So it was the entire team, and he said Jamal Banks makes a difference when he's on the field at wide receiver, and the helmet communication just allows every quarterback to get more mental reps, but offenses are going to try to go even faster. Can you imagine what Chip Kelly's going to try to do at Ohio State? They tried to snap the ball once every 18 seconds at Oregon. He was never that fast at UCLA. But now that he can talk directly to the quarterback, he might try to snap the ball once every 8 seconds. Who knows? All right, ladies and gentlemen, I do want to get to our first guest. It's always loaded. That's why it's the fastest hour in radio. All right. Shout out to Vershawn and Terrell, but the fastest hour in radio is faster than the fastest 2 hours in radio, my friends. All right. So I want to bring on my first guest. They do a great job. I shouted them out on the Chronicles actually recently. Their interview with Mike Minter was phenomenal. So go check that out if you get a chance. Tyler Olson says, Adam, 2 exclamation points. And he says, Joe is a dude. I agree. So let's bring on Nash Hutmaker's dad, Mr. Joe Hutmaker. How you doing, my friend?
How's it going, Adam?
Dude, life is good. And I'm looking at a picture right now that my man Jake is putting up. I sent Jake another picture after senior wrestling day, when you're standing there with Mama Hutmaker and Nash, your son. Dude, I got to ask, what type of workouts are you doing? Because you're clearly hitting the gym and you're making the weight room bleed. So what type of workouts are you doing, my friend? I'm very curious.
You know, I used to do a lot of heavy deadlifting, squatting, and benching, but I've kind of moved away from that, and I just call it the old man workout. I do a lot of dumbbell work and try to get in and lift weights 3 or 4 days a week. Separate back one day, back and buys, shoulders, chest, butt tries another day, and a little bit of legs. I got to throw a little bit of legs in there.
The obligatory leg day. I love that. All right. So I'm curious, and you would know as well as anybody outside of Nash himself, he had to drop, I forget exactly what it was, 20, 30, 40 pounds for wrestling. How challenging was that for Nash to try to lose that weight so he could wrestle at the appropriate weight?
You know, when I first got the call from Nash and said he told his mother and I that he had talked with Mark Manning, my first thought was, no way is this going to happen. I knew what he weighed. This was like right after the Iowa game, and he was weighing like 331 pounds. And I knew what he had to lose, but man, he did an awesome job. He was doing extra workouts. He worked with Kristen Coggins, the nutritionist, and her team, and they just did an outstanding job of helping him get there. I just can't say enough about him.
So now he has the task. Now, I've lost at one point in my life. I put on 100 pounds from my senior year of high school to the time I was playing with the Redskins. I went from 220 to 320. I did not stay at 320 long, but I was there for one day. And then I went all the way back down after I retired back down to 220. I will tell you right now, for me personally, putting on weight is way more fun than taking off weight. But my next question is, now he's got to put on back 20, 30 pounds, whatever it may be, but he's got to put on the right weight. How's that process been so far for him up to this point?
I think he's doing great, and that's something that the nutritionists and coaches stressed, is they want him to get back up to 310 pounds, but they want him to do it the right way. They want that weight to be the right weight, and you know, he'll send me pictures of what he's cooking and eating. He likes to cook, actually, and it'll be steak and salad. You know, he's throwing those greens in there, of course, and he's really watching what he eats. And him and I have had that same talk. I said, you want to build back up to 310, but you want to make sure it's the right weight. And I think he's doing a pretty good job of that. And he's got a good team behind him that'll help him with that.
Well, being someone who's done something a little bit similar, I admire the willpower it takes to lose weight, the discipline it takes to put back on healthy weight. So when I lost 100 pounds and I got down to 220, the first thing I did is I went and I got a dozen donuts. Now, they were not all for me.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Initially. So I had a flight to catch. I was going out to D.C. later that day, and I was going to admittedly eat 6 of them and then give the other 6 to my family, my 6 kids. My wife doesn't like donuts. Well, they were late getting home, so then all of a sudden I ate 7 and then 8 and then 9. Before I knew it, before I left to the airport on my flight, I'd eaten all dozen donuts. I woke up the next day at 2:32. So I'm so happy to hear that Nash is not putting on a dozen pounds by eating a dozen donuts real quickly. So I'm very happy to hear that. But I am curious. Spring ball in general, I know they've kind of been limiting his reps just a smidge for various smart reasons, but I'm just curious, how is, as he relays to you and chats with you, how has spring ball been going from Nash's perspective there?
Oh, I think initially when they were holding him back, there was a little frustration on his part, and I'm curious to see how that plays out, not just with Nash, but a lot of the fifth and sixth-year players, you know, Ty Robinson, Ben Scott, Bryce Benhart, Nash, of course. They're participating in the individual drills, but they're not doing a lot of live reps. And I'm curious to see how all that plays out. Now with Nash, they wanted him, basically had been in competition for 8 months. He went from football at the end of August and went right into competing and training and wrestling, plus dropping the weight. They wanted his body to take a break, give him that at least a couple weeks of recovery. And I think he's definitely ready to go. He's hungry. He wants to do those live reps. But I understand what they're doing. But it is a little different than the approach some of the other coaches have taken in the past, holding those guys out. So I'm really curious to see this coming weekend if those, how many reps those guys will get in the spring game.
I'm curious, too. Tyler Olson has messaged in, said, South Dakota Joe. I think he's giving you a shout-out there, Joe. And I'm curious, as Nash's dad, from your perspective, he had taken a few years off of wrestling, and then he jumps into Big Ten-type competition in wrestling since not having wrestled since high school. From your perspective, what was that like for him, and what was your reaction when you found out, like, just beyond the weight, but, like, he's going to compete in the Big Ten after having taken a few years off? From your perspective, what was your reaction to that?
Initially, I was like, no. And then he kind of talked to me, and I could tell he was going to wrestle. There was no changing his mind. And the concern from the parent aspect is you know, you get worried about injury, things like that. And so there, that was kind of nerve-wracking, that part of it. But Nash, there's always something in the back of my head that knew Nash and wrestling were not done. He just loved that sport so much, and it's hard to describe, but just the suffering of the workouts and you know, you walk out on that mat, it's just you and that other guy, you shake hands, and what happens out there is up to you. So
I'm curious, what was Mama Hutmaker's reaction to all of this? The wrestling, the, you know, having to lose and put on weight, coming back and playing football, basically not getting any time off for 8 months. Like, what was Nash's mom's reaction to all this?
Well, Nash's mom is a competitor, and she had nothing but excitement. She's a boy mom. She's a wrestling mom. Even our dogs are boys. And I think mostly she was excited about it. She loved to watch the boys wrestle, and when it looked like potentially they would never wrestle again, our youngest son is also in college football. And when it looked like they may never wrestle again when they went to college, she told me, I'm really going to miss that wrestling. So she was probably a lot more excited than I was about the whole aspect of seeing one of the boys on the mat again.
It's funny you mentioned your wife being a boy mom, so to speak. My wife, Angie, grew up on a farm, small town, blue collar, and she would have been perfectly fine having all boys. As luck would have it, we have 5 daughters and 1 boy. So let's just say she got really good at doing hair really quick, whether she really wanted to learn or not. But it's interesting. Some parents kind of fit one mold a little bit better than the other, and then you're forced to learn the other mold you may not be as comfortable with, and then all of a sudden it just fits like a glove too. So I'm curious, something I've wanted to ask you for years, because Nash came to Nebraska strong, and I've got to imagine you were the individual who kind of introduced him to working out, lifting weights. His squat is incredibly impressive. What was the introduction to weightlifting like, and at what age did you have him start working out?
When he was 12 years old, and I talked with the wrestling coach, and he was looking at he asked me, what would you think of Nash wrestling heavyweight next year on varsity as a 13-year-old? And it's like, man, those guys are big. We're going to have to get Nash strong. And I was a competitive power lifter. I traveled around the country competing in powerlifting, so I had that background. And I had helped coach football at the local high school and coach weightlifting. And I actually went to and watched Boyd Epley speak. I went to a couple of his strength clinics. And so I based a weightlifting program at our high school on Boyd Epley's strength program at Nebraska. And one thing I didn't allow Nash to do much of is bench. I didn't allow him to do a lot of benching or upper body stuff initially. We did a lot of deadlifting, back work, and squatting. I wanted him to get that technique down, learn to love to squat, and pretty soon he's asking me, are telling me, Dad, people are wanting to know how much I bench. And I tell him, I don't care. Make a number up. It doesn't matter. I said, the squat's more important. That's where your motor's at, buddy. And then once he learned to love to squat and got that technique down and kind of mastered that, then we went on and started working more upper body stuff, kind of focusing on that. So
being a former power lifter yourself, what were some of the lifts that you kind of excelled at, or you would say were some of your better lifts that you did?
Powerlifting, you know, you, if you're doing a three lift meet, it's bench press, deadlift, squat, and they're, I mean, not to brag, but at one time I was ranked fifth in the nation, and the ADFPA, which would have been the American Drug Free Powerlifting Association, which doesn't even exist anymore. But you know, yeah, I had pretty respective numbers when I lifted.
Well, if you don't mind sharing what some of them are, and if you don't want to, that's fine. I think people would kind of be curious to hear what some of those numbers are.
I had about an 840-pound squat and a 775-pound deadlift, and I think the most I ever benched, even though it turned out not to be a legal lift, was about 605 pounds.
So. Wow, that is very impressive. Yeah. What made it not a legal lift?
My butt came off the bench. You had to keep your butt in contact with the bench, and I used to arch my back pretty hard, and my butt would pop up off the bench. That was kind of one of the problems I had. But I think my best legal lift was around 575 pounds.
Did you ever use one of those bench press shirts? I forget. I think they're just called bench press shirts, but they're really tight compression shirts to prevent injury. But they do help you lift more weight. Or were you a raw bench presser?
Yeah, they absolutely do. And we did both raw meets. The crew I was with, we did both raw meets and equipped meets. Back then, there was pretty much Inzer and maybe one other company on the market that had bench shirts. And they weren't, I wouldn't compare them to the shirts and equipment they use now. I think there's been a lot of advancements and rule changes there. But we did both the raw, what was called a raw or unequipped, in the equipped meets back then.
When I was in high school, this is going to be so bad because I can't remember his name, and, you know, we're live on radio with absolutely nobody listening. Ryan Keneally, does that name sound familiar? Or somebody who set a bench press record about 15 years ago, it was like 900 pounds. Does that name sound familiar at all? Ryan something, Ryan Keneally?
Yeah, I remember, I think he was one of the first guys to, I'm not sure that name's exactly right. I can't, it could be.
Yeah.
But I remember when the 900-pound barrier was broken, and of course since then, the 1,000-pound barrier's been broken on the bench press. So, and that's just technique, and guys are getting bigger and stronger.
For sure. I remember watching when my dad took me, because I was big into lifting, and he took me to watch, and he benched 900. I'll be honest, it did not look hard enough. Like, it should have looked harder. And the person who was there was like, he's going to hit 1,000. He's going to be the first person to hit 1,000 relatively soon. That's when I was a true freshman, living in the good old dorms of Harper Schramm Smith. All right, so I'm curious, what are some of Nash's goals going into his senior season? Does he have any individual goals? Any goals in particular for the unit on defense as a whole? Has he mentioned anything like that to you?
I think their goal is to be the number one defense in the country. I think they want to improve their pass rush, and Nash in particular wants to improve his pass rush. And I think that part of cutting the weight, and whether he had went out for wrestling or not, he wanted to get faster. And one of the ways to get faster, he wanted to maintain as much muscle mass and get down there around that 310 pounds to make him maybe a step or so quicker. But I think as a unit, the impression I'm getting is they are bound and determined they want to be the number one defense in the country. They have to prove that, though.
It'll be exciting to watch. The D-line's going to be a force to reckon with. Couple of DBs that are stepping up in Bly Hill, Tommy Hill. Find a linebacker in the middle of that defense, and I think they're going to be a lot of fun to watch this fall. I appreciate you taking the time
absolutely.
And joining me, Joe. Thank you very much.
You bet. Thanks, Adam.
All right, don't go anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back after this break with national champion, All-American, Outland Trophy winner, Zach Wiegert.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply, in-app only.